Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and for 30 years, I have been both the CEO of Technology Partners and the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by the Commerce Bank team of Beth Furing, Senior Vice President and Director of Talent Experience and Culture, Susan Kalist, Division Manager of Commercial Banking, and Becky Feldman, Senior Employee Experience and Brand Strategist. Well, welcome to the Something Extra podcast, ladies. I have Susan, Beth, and Becky with me today. I am so excited about this conversation with you lovely ladies.
Thank you, Lisa. We're happy
Thank you.
Said kind of in a sidebar conversation, there's a lot of woman power. A lot of woman power in the room right now.
Absolutely.
Which is really exciting. But, you know, Becky and I have known each other for quite a while now. Becky, I don't even know how you and I originally met, but we've known each other for a while. And so she was gracious enough to introduce me to Susan and Beth. And so now I have a couple of new friends, which is really fun. But I know one thing's for sure, ladies, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun today. So I would love to go around the room just as we start here. And why don't each of you tell me just a couple of things about your younger self and your childhood? You can talk about where you grew up. I would love to know what each of you liked to do as a child. And Susan, I thought we would go with you, start with you, because I know that you love, one of the things you love to do even today is swim. And so I was wondering if you grew up as a swimmer. Were you on swim teams and stuff as a little girl?
Nothing professional, but I've got three sisters. And so we always had a pool. And God bless mom. That was a way to keep us out of trouble, entertained, and get some exercise so that we would actually sleep at some point. Getting four rowdy girls to bed at night was a challenge. But yeah, but grew up with three sisters, so there's some more woman, you know, connectivity power that still exists today. God bless my sisters. They're awesome. They're some of my best friends. But yeah, just grew up in, Lisa, you and I were sharing and comparing, you know, that we kind of live in God's country, right? So a little bit off the beaten path, but close enough to civilization. And so that's kind of how I grew up as well, and with farm fields around. And so yeah, it's a kind of ironic. I work in an office, but anytime I can get outdoors, I love to get outdoors. But always played on my family's team as far as like we did everything together. But then I loved to play softball too, growing up. And so team sports, whether that's athletic related or work related, it's a team sport.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just said, Susan. You played on your family's team. You know,
we were always, whatever we did, it was our family.
That is what a blessing. What a blessing. I mean, it truly is. You're a blessed woman to have had that background. Beth, how about you? Tell me a little bit about you.
I live the opposite direction of all of you. So I live in Jefferson County. So it is also very far away, I feel like. I grew up around woods and farms. Dancing was always my thing. So I was a competitive dancer, and I started when I was 3 and danced all the way through high school. And then, I ventured into like professional dancing, with, some local like sports teams, in St. Louis. And then I went and I was like, I really miss it. So then I took some classes as an adult. I tried to get like all of our like competitive teams back together, like some of my friends, and say, come on, let's go back. Some of the teachers are still there. And so we danced then, we did recitals. And then my daughter started dancing. And I decided I should probably not dance and embarrass her up on stage while she is dancing and it's her time. But it's her senior year. So I plan to go back next year when she's not dancing there anymore.
That
So
is so
yeah, it's
awesome.
fun.
I love that. Well, we have a little bit in common. I grew up dancing too.
You
My
did?
very best friend and I, we started dancing at Rosemary Peterson Studio in Kentucky when I was 3 years old, and didn't dance professionally. But now we've kind of come full circle because our youngest daughter, Allie, and Becky knows this. Our youngest daughter, Allie, is a ballroom dancer,
Is?
And ended up winning Dancing with the St. Louis Stars in 2019.
Get out.
Yes. And
That
then
is such an intense type of dance, but it's so
it is.
beautiful.
It
Yeah.
is. It's so fun. And so I would take her, and so she continued dancing even after that. And so I would take her to her lessons, and I usually take my laptop because there's never enough time, right, ladies? I'm sitting
Yes.
there trying to catch up, and about a year ago, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I need more fun in my life. I'm going to start taking two.
Did you
So
see? And it's so fun.
it's so fun. It's great exercise. I say it's great exercise physically and mentally.
Yeah, you have to remember the
Trying to
steps. It's
think about
both.
your steps and that, right? So anyway, that's so fun. We've got
I
some
know.
stuff in common there too. Well, Miss
Yes.
Becky, the thing that I think about with Becky, if Becky just had a little bit more ex enthusiasm and passion in life, I think. No, I mean, you're most positive person, joyful, always has a smile on her face. And I think that's why I just was drawn to you, Becky. But tell me a little bit about you and what you did as a little girl and where you grew up.
Well, I was always buzzing, even as a little kid. And so I grew up in North County. I grew up in Ferguson, born and raised, and then moved out to St. Charles County for, gosh, my high school time. But I went to Incarnate Word Academy. You're from St. Louis, so loved my all-girls school that I went to. And not like you guys, I was not a dancer. I was a cheerleader. And the funny thing about that is, gosh, probably my sophomore year, they introduced dance components into cheerleading. And I was like, I didn't sign up for this. I can't do the 1-2, whatever. I don't even know what that is. But I said, oh my gosh, like I can do the rigid cheers, but getting me coordinated into a dance was, that was rough, but I did it all the way through senior year. When I was a kid, though, I played every sport. I played softball and loved it. I played soccer, and there's hilarious stories because I think I was kind of like my youngest son is right now. I was just happy to be there. I wasn't very good at the sports I was playing, but I enjoyed myself and probably had more fun cheering than I did playing, and didn't really care if I got playing time either. So that's a little bit about my sports background. I also was really into art growing up, and thought I was going to be an art teacher. That's what I would say when I was young. I wanted to grow up and I wanted to be an art teacher, but that didn't happen. But I'm able to do art in very different ways, in the corporate world, and then also in some of the other things that I do outside of work.
Yeah, that's the other thing I would say about you, Becky. I think you're very creative. So it probably kind of stems back to that. I don't know if you guys have read Six Types of Genius or not, but it had Patrick Lencioni on the Something Extra podcast. He was my 300th episode. I'm sure you've read some of his books, Five Dysfunctions of a Team. He's got a million books out there. But the whole concept of Six Types of Genius is really to go back to kind of what you did as a child, and it really sometimes comes full circle. And I love that. I love that. So Beth, have you started a dance team there at Commerce Bank?
No, actually, so what I do is I turn birthday celebrations into little dances. So when someone has a birthday on my team, like it or not, I'm going to sing obnoxiously. I'm going to do a little dance for them. I usually record them, I usually send them to them, and then it's quite funny seeing reactions. So
love it. I love it. I love it. Well, you all have had successful careers, very successful careers, but I'd really love to start because there's so much I want to talk about. I kind of want to start now. Where you are now, you all are at Commerce Bank, an amazing, iconic bank that is. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about why it's so amazing. But, Susan, I think you've been in banking now for, should I say 25 years? But you're not that old. You started when you were 12, I know.
Thank you.
but you've been at some, Bank of America, BMO, now Commerce. Beth, you've been at Commerce, I think, for 25 years as well, right?
After.
Now, Becky, you came from SSM Healthcare, so you came out of healthcare, but mostly have always been kind of in the people function, in the HR function. Was that a big switch for you? Was that a big learning curve coming from healthcare into banking? And what was that like?
That I always think about that. And SSM was a mission-based organization. And so I always thought, gosh, moving into a different sector was going to be really, really difficult for me. But I have found the mission and culture of Commerce is stronger than anything I have ever felt. And so when I was kind of making that transition, I was kind of on the fence, like, should I make this move? I grew up at SSM for 16 years. And the one thing that set me over, and Beth always hears this, I still have the email in my Hotmail account. And the subject line was, because Beth knew I was kind of waffling a little bit, like, should I do this? This is a big change. And the subject line was, if you want to build something, this is your place. And that has rang true my entire, almost, I'll be 6 years in July. Every day I have the opportunity to build, and that is really the culture. That's our something extra that brought me here, that keeps me here. And I think that's something that a lot of Commerce team members share, is that reason for coming and staying.
God, I love that. That's beautiful. I mean, really having the opportunity to be part of the story, right? And building the culture. And so that really kind of takes me into I want to talk about this. I know that you guys have a women in leadership that you did, that you developed in 2022. I think you used an external coach. I'd love for you guys to talk more about that. It's a 10-month program with about 20 participants in a cohort. So many times, I think as women, we're taking care of everybody else. We're doing all these different things, but really taking the time to step back and work on us is not necessarily something that we do. Sometimes we put that on the back burner. And by building this program and developing this program, you really allowed women to do that and to step back and build their own personal development plan. Susan, I know that both of you went through it. Becky, did you go through it too? Or
No, I've been a part
Susan?
of our leadership development program, but not women in leadership yet.
Women leadership. Okay. So I know that
Yet.
Susan,
She wants
I
to
know
be.
that you both went through the program. I've read so many different testimonials about it. Amy Piper really applauded the program. But I'd love for you each to tell me a little bit about your experience. And when you did you see different outcomes? And I don't know if you measured before and after. Did you? Yeah, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Did you come out with more confidence? How did you show up differently after the program? And Susan, I'll let you go first, and then Beth, you can follow Susan and give me your thoughts.
Thanks, Lisa. So I was blessed to be part of the inaugural class, our first rodeo with women in leadership here at Commerce. And we engaged Impact Group externally as the outside consulting firm. But Beth and her team were really lockstep in hand. So we had our internal friends and our external consultants working with us. I'll tell you, so we were there, like I said, we were the inaugural class. And so you don't know what you don't know. And we were on this journey together, 9, 10 months long. What I will say to your point earlier, Lisa, we're always so busy taking care of our families, our friends, even at work, even as leaders or teammates. We want to take care of our team, and sometimes we don't leave a lot of bandwidth for yours truly in the mix. This forced us, and even in the initial stages of the program, setting goals, setting milestones, it's so easy to put on that hat of, well, what does others expect? Not what do I expect? What do I need? And so this was transformational for me. Even someone who I thought I was pretty enlightened about taking care of the big picture and myself in order, like the better I am, the better I can serve, right?
That's
Well,
right.
I learned a lot. I had work to do. In summary, besides all the amazing connections with some additional folks, there were about 20 of us, Lisa, and I knew pretty closely about half of the ladies that went through the program, and they're from geography all around the Commerce footprint. I got to be real close friends with the other 10 folks that I just met in that program. But I'll say the biggest standout for me personally, besides this really forcing us to be our authentic selves and take care of ourselves, was no negative self-talk. That's my mantra. Like anytime I catch myself dissing myself or like, oh, you shoulda, woulda, coulda, or that didn't. I flip it to the affirmations. It's like, this is what I will do. This is what I can do. Not woulda, shoulda, coulda, didn't. It's the positive. It's the no negative self-talk. That was my big one.
Yeah, it doesn't serve you well, does it? And it doesn't change anything. Even when
And
you,
thank
it just
you.
makes you feel worse
Yeah.
if you engage in that, right? So, wow, there's just so much I love about that. And I think, Susan, to your point, you knew about half of the women. So you got to know these other women on a much deeper level. And don't you guys think in the business, like when you really have a personal relationship with somebody, one of your team members, that you can go so much faster then? Because,
Absolutely.
and you know who
Yes.
to lean
Yes.
on,
Sure do.
right? And maybe you need a resource, or maybe you need to learn more about an area. Now you've got a personal relationship. So it allows you to, I don't know. I just think that's really powerful. Well, Beth, how about you?
We call that our work best friend. It's like, there is something to be said about having somebody at work that you have as your bestie. But then in addition to that, you have your network. So I actually didn't go through the program. I was responsible for bringing it to Commerce. And so, like Susan said, we get to work. I always say I have the best job ever. So I get to meet all of these talented women and leaders within Commerce Bank. And then I also get to experience the content when they go through it. And so the impact group is who we used. And what differentiates the program or the experience is they have kind of their secret sauce, but then they also lean on what we have as a culture and figure out how to make what we need from the program kind of into the content. But each woman is kind of in a triad. So they have their manager is very much a part of this journey with them. And then they have a professional coach that is from the impact group. No two women, like I have leadership programs internally that we do all the time. And what makes this one unique is in the larger cohorts, they're all kind of going through the same content and the same experience. With women in leadership, no experience was the same because it was very individualized to like what Susan needed, or if Becky was in the program, what Becky needed. And they all walk away with kind of what is your brand? What do you want to be known for? And at the end of the cohort, that's probably one of the biggest things is they have to authentically come out and say to leaders in the room and to our executives in the room, hey, think of me when. And that is one of you would think that would be like an easy thing to figure out, like, hey, I want you to think of me when, but women don't naturally project. I want you to think of me when this comes up or when this opportunity is there. And to see that shift in the women from the beginning to the end, and these are women that I admire, that some of them, I mean, I've looked at their careers and what they've done, and to see that confidence boost on the other end, there's nothing really like it. And I will also say one of Susan's think of me wins was around culture. And Susan has had such a heart for all things commerce and culture, which led actually to her becoming one of our internal facilitators. So, around culture. So it's just a beautiful thing how it all works. Very powerful program. And if you don't know the Impact Group, I suggest you get to know them. They're great.
Absolutely. Lauren Herring,
Yes,
dear
phenomenal.
friend of mine, as well
Oh
as
my
her mom,
gosh.
Laura.
So they have been remarkable partners. We've offered two of them internally, but that also goes back to our culture and what our leaders believe matter, matters and developing talent and all of that. So I'm very fortunate to have that support.
I know. I know that there's research out there, ladies, and I don't know what the percentage is, but if you look at a job description, women are like, oh, I gotta have 90% of that, right? Men don't. They're like, they'll put themselves out there, but really, and I've had so many leaders on the podcast that say, you've got to be an advocate for yourself. You do have to let people know what your brand is. You've got to let them know what your aspirations are, because people can't read your mind, right? And I will tell you, I've had so many successful women on the podcast that have said, no, I raised my hand for that. And I said, hey, I think I would like to do that project. A lot of times it's projects that no one else wanted.
Yes, you hear that comment. That's a common thread.
A common thread. It's a common thread, but having the courage to do that. So, a couple components that I wanted to ask about the different components. I know that they're going through this. They've got this a professional coach or a professional executive coach that's paired with them. And then at the end, there's a capstone presentation, right?
Yes.
So, tell me a little bit about that, Beth. And that had to been a little bit. Susan, was that a little bit harrowing? Was that a little bit like,
It was until I embraced the, you know what? This is my moment, and I am going to be 100% honest. And I might surprise some people what I really want to do with my career, but I'm putting it out there.
That's what I was telling you at the end. The presentation is really because they've worked with this coach along the way, they have kind of three pillars that they work towards. One of which is their personal brand and what they learn about themselves. But there's also a very strong business component of it and learning the business. And when they get in the room that day, we do have every one of our executive leaders attends for the full day for all of the presentations. And in the beginning, they have like a little summary of who they are, but they're still standing up there in front of everyone. And the other thing is we all get to write feedback for each person, and they're not feedback on how they did on their presentation. It's like, hey, I have an idea, like based on what you told me, contact me. I know so and so. I can connect you with so and so. And so at the end of it, each woman walks out with a full ring of all these thoughtful like notes and things that they can look back on that day and go, oh my gosh, I did that. But then we also have a book that we have that has all of the women's profiles in it that says, think of them when, and I got to tell you, in my job, again, because it's the best job ever, I get to go back and look and say, oh, this is a project that so and so raised their hand, said, think of me when, and we can make connections that way. So, Susan, you had to be in front of the room and do that. From my end, it was beautiful and it was wonderful. And there were times that I was like, I was so proud of them. It was hard not to get emotional because you've been on this journey with them. But Susan, you were on the other side of that. So it may have felt different.
It was, a little bit nervous, but at the same time, it's like, hey, this is an opportunity. Let's roll with this, And I think most of the folks took the opportunity to bring props. That was optional. I'll never forget. And we did like a 2 minute thing at the beginning where we just kind of touch on our brand, and then we evolve a little bit more with our longer presentation in the afternoon after lunch. But I still have it. My prop was two puzzle pieces. I did arts and craft, Becky. You would pr be proud of me. I had two puzzle pieces that are in the shape of our commerce brand culture pyramid. And I basically said, this program allowed me to put the pieces of my career puzzle together. And anytime I can blend my day-to-day working with my team into our culture, I'm fulfilled. And that's my authentic self that I want to be at Commerce. So think of me when. And it all came to fruition like within less than a year of graduation, if that's the capstone. Now, as Beth alluded, I get to be one of two handfuls There's less than 10 folks that get to lead our culture facilitation for the bank, and
Yeah.
I get to be one of them now. It's an honor.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome. Well, Susan, I love everything you just said, but the other thing I'm thinking about, you've done the work. You did 10 months of work. So really that gives you confidence too, right? Knowing that, no, I put the work in behind this to actually stand up and make this presentation because I feel like I am presenting my authentic self. So it's just so beautiful. Well, no, okay, I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and just do a deep, deep dive into culture because I know that's a major differentiator for you guys. How many women have gone through this now? How many cohorts have you had? And then what's next? I mean, is there a graduate program for the ladies that went through in the inaugural one? I mean, what are you guys thinking?
Yeah, we've only done two. So we started Susan was the first cohort. We had another one last year. So we did back to back intentionally so that we could learn and apply the feedback from the first one to the second one. We're on pause this year because we also partner with UMKC for an executive development program. That's happening now. And then next year we will be doing women in leadership again. And one of the ways that we will engage the alum is to bring them back for panel discussions and networking with the newbies that are coming through the program. So yeah, we will be doing it again. They are fabulous partners for us.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. I love it. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back on the Something Extra podcast with these lovely ladies.
Hey there. In a challenging business climate like this, savvy leaders look to technology to find an edge. This can mean the difference between staying ahead of the curve or playing catch up. It's time to collaborate with the highly skilled experts at Technology Partners. Our team of technologists draws upon decades of experience for your project, with each bringing a passion for solving problems and a track record of success. How can we help you overcome your biggest technology challenges? Visit technologypartners.net to book a free consultation with one of our leaders.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Susan, Beth, and Becky from Commerce Bank. So, ladies, we've talked about this a little bit, but you guys have just built such an amazing culture at Commerce. And I think, as we've just seen from what you guys talked about with your women in leadership, it is intentional. You're very intentional in how you have built this culture. So, well, I know EDGE is the program. Is that an acronym for something? No, it's
No,
just, yeah. Tell us more about it, Beth.
it is our edge. It is, let me think of how to describe it. So we have been asked it before. Is it an acronym for something? And it's not. It is a consistent program that we launched internally we actually partnered with an external consulting firm, Sendelini at the time. Now they're Heidrick & Struggles. They have a set core of kind of culture concepts that they will put you through and put leadership teams through. So it starts with the top, works its way down through the organization. And because they do believe culture is leader-led and sustained by all. And so we put all leaders through this. It's a common language of concepts that we use, and we have woven that into everything that we do, going on 15 years now. But the base and the foundation of that is our purpose, our core values, and our guiding behaviors. So it's all a common language that we put in everything that our team members do. So from onboarding to recruitment to development to sustainability, it's all there through the whole life cycle.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I mean, commerce is huge. I mean, you guys, I think, have what, 32 billion in assets. You've got close to 5,000 employees. I mean, that's hard, right? To infiltrate culture that way. But what you just described to me, Beth, is it's the common thread through onboarding and
Love it.
everything. So can you guys, one of you, I don't know, Becky or Susan, kind of describe to me, because I know when I've talked to you guys in the past, like, you've got the master, you get the master culture champions, and then you've got those people have champions underneath them. Can somebody kind of explain the logistics of that to me?
Absolutely. So it's our culture network, really, is what it is. And I'll start by saying, when I first started at Commerce, being part of talent development, I got to attend a culture offsite, a culture retreat for our master champs and our super champs. I was not yet in that role, but I got to attend. And one of the things that struck me, Lisa, is, oh my goodness, they let us spend 8 hours today working and talking about culture. And that's when I knew this was the real deal. That commerce understands that we take care of people. We focus on our culture, and that impacts obviously the team member experience. It impacts the customer experience. They can feel it, and it leads to business outcomes. I mean, that is what makes us different. I'll kind of start from the top as a master champ. Actually, even above that, we have an EMC, so an executive management team member who kind of rotates over the years, who is playing in that role. So it's not the same person every year. They might hold that role for a couple of years, and then when it's time, they'll pass the torch to someone else to be the culture carrier for the organization. But below that, there are master champs. And this master champ role is in addition to someone's day job. So each master champ supports an executive leader. And then underneath the master champs, we have our super champs. And so these are the people who are kind of the arms and legs, into the organization to really make sure that the culture is aligned, to really support a leader within a line of business, within a specific area of the bank, because we know that, there is an overall commerce culture, but there are going to be some specific needs of certain departments. And so that super champ is going to be working with that leader to say, what matters most to you? How do your team members like to experience culture? And they listen and learn, and they're a partner in making that happen. So I currently play the role of master champ in talent management. And then I have a team of super champs who I work with to really spread the word and to be the culture carriers to bring that into the lives of everyone at Commerce. And Susan got to play that role too in her Commerce career. Susan, were you a master champ and a super champ at one
Yes,
point?
I was a super champ first and then got to be a
Awesome.
master champ on the commercial side for almost 3 years. So, and what a great 3 years. So it's hard to pass the baton, but it's all part of the program. So,
Right,
yeah.
right. Well, that's how
So.
you scale, right? So what does that look like exactly? So if you're the master champ and you have super champs under you, are there regular meeting rhythms that you're doing with
Yeah.
those people?
We
Is
actually
it
create culture
one-on-one?
plans. Yeah, we
A
create
culture.
culture plans. So it's
Okay.
pretty neat the way that we do it. And again, the culture plan for talent management is going to look different than the culture plan for commercial or for IT.
Right.
And so we really have a listening strategy where we ask, what matters most to you around culture? How do you want to experience culture? Some people, it's the day-to-day. Some people want to talk about social events. Some people want to talk about education. Maybe they want a little bit more to understand what are the tools and resources available to me, as part of our culture. So EDGE is a piece of our culture. We have the pyramid, as Susan was talking about. There's agile in that. There is innovation as part of the culture pyramid. There's inclusion. There's Commerce for You, which is our development area. So there are certain pieces of the pyramid that people say, I want to learn more about that. Help me with it. So that's where our master champs are working with our executive director, who they support to really understand what are the priorities. And that will change year to year. A culture plan is not a set it and forget it. It's going to grow, it's going to change. And that's all based off of feedback from not only our annual team member survey. But we have an ongoing listening strategy. I call it the always on listening strategy that really gives us some really good data, but the data just gives us direction. The culture champs really dig in there and have conversations, to understand what matters most and to figure out what are those priorities and what are we going to focus on for that calendar year.
Yeah, it is so good. That just brings me, when I talked to you all before, I don't know who said this, but they said our culture works. because we
Because
work
we
at
work
it.
at
We
it.
work at it.
Absolutely. That is the thing. And that was that like light bulb moment that I had. We had our offsite at Mizzou 5 years ago now. And I was like, it works because we work at it. It's incredible. And again, that word intentional is
Yes.
something that you brought out, Lisa. It's something that we think about every day.
Yeah.
Every team member is thinking about it because I'm sure we'll talk about some edge concepts in a little bit, but we are all personally responsible to be a culture carrier, and we hold ourselves accountable to that. That's why this works.
Yeah, and I will say, I think it really is, going back to the very first thing I think you said, our culture really is our differentiator. And there's a reason we're celebrating 160 years this year. There's a reason we have the results that we do. That doesn't just happen out of nowhere. And you know, one of the sayings in that you'll hear is culture can eat strategy for breakfast. It drives our strategy, it drives our results, and it's how we communicate, it's how we innovate, it's how we learn, it's how we grow. It's all of those things, and it shows up in our bottom line. No doubt about it.
It also shows up in our personal lives too, and in
Yes.
our relationships with customers. Like I love that it spills outside of work. I mean, that's really what it
I was
does.
gonna say, and Susan actually has like because she is on the commercial side, like the way that it shows up with her clients and how she uses that to talk about commerce. I mean, Susan, those would be some good stories to share.
Yeah, I'd love to
Some good
hear them.
ones.
Susan,
Sure.
give me a
So,
story.
well,
Story time.
nothing's better than when you're, taking a tour with a client around their pride and joy, seeing their operation, and they've got maybe some of their core values posted, or they discuss it in just conversation, and just being able to connect around those core values and what's important and taking care of people. Because servant leadership, I think we all agree that's where it's at. So, but I'll tell you, there's so many concepts. We don't have time to talk about all the concepts, but one of the things that we talk about is commerce takes the golden rule, which is, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. And we morphed it into what we call the platinum rule, which is treat others the way they'd like to be treated. So, in speaking of how we operate internally, but then also when we go out and work with clients, we really make it a priority to understand what matters most to them, what's important. And maybe it's part of that core values that they have up on their wall, but really listening and having conversations to be instrumental in hopefully helping them achieve what matters most to them. The other thing is we have a long-term view. That's one of our core values. And I'm proud to say that last year we won a client that we had been having conversations with for like over 5 years. And it was all about just this platinum rule, Lisa. It was all about treating others the way they want to be treated. And frankly, they came back and articulated that to us when we officially won their relationship and they came to Commerce. They said, "We number one, we talk to you more than we talk to our current bank or predecessor bank, I'll call them now. And then two, you really get us. You listen, you understand what's important to us, and you show up with those kind of ideas and strategies to help support us." So I'm blessed to say that if we're doing it well internally, we're going to show up as a team that's well functioning and we're going to be successful. It might take us 5 years to figure out what buttons to push and help them, but we're going to be in it for the long run. And then we're going to keep those relationships internally, retain those employees, and externally keep those clients, hopefully for the long run.
Oh, that's beautiful, Susan. It is, because I'm thinking what I going through my mind is I'm thinking when you're doing the work internally, the external constituents will feel it.
Yes, ma'am.
They will
Yes.
feel it, you know. So you brought up something, and Becky, you talked about the edge concept. So I do want to talk to you guys about this because I know, and I'm so intrigued by this because you start every meeting with an edge concept. And I think that's awesome. And you're drilling it down into the DNA. Give me an example of that. Give me like an edge concept, and does every like So Becky's in different meetings than Beth is. Beth is in different meetings than Susan is. Do you choose your concept that you're going to start that meeting with, or is it everybody is starting this week with this concept? How does it work? And can you give me an example of an edge concept that you would be talking about?
Who wants to take
I can jump in with Be Here Now. We just did it this
Okay.
morning. So we
Yeah.
rolled out our 2025 goals for my commercial team that I get to lead this morning. And to your question, Lisa, there's not a concept of the week necessarily. Although we do really focus on appreciation several times throughout the year and make that a permeating concept, but it's kind of up to the leader, and honestly, sometimes it comes up from the team. It kind of goes both ways. But this morning, I just asked the team, with all the distractions of the new year, to focus on one of our concepts. When I kicked off my team meeting this morning, I said one of our concepts is "Be here now," and that kind of explains it. Just with those three words, you probably get it right there. But it's all about being fully present, avoiding distractions, really prioritizing your listening, and really making the conversation count. So, because we have that vernacular, Lisa, all I said was, "Hey, I'm so excited to share our goals. We've got about 40 minutes that we're going to talk about our goals this year and a little bit about strategy to get those goals, but let's all be here now." And I said, I literally took my phone, turned it off, and set it out of sight, like off to the side of the conference room table, and said, "I'm starting with me. I'm going to be here now for this meeting, and let's all be here now." So, that's a
A
simple one.
shadow. No,
Yeah.
but that's your shadow, Susan. That's your shadow, and you're modeling it.
Yes, absolutely. That's good. Anybody
think
else?
that,
What is your
yeah, I think
favorite
that example
concept?
that Susan shared is really like sometimes it's not an activity. It's part of what we do. And even just bringing up that concept to, in that meeting, it wasn't necessarily a meeting starter, per se. It's just part of our normal way of working. Now, in other areas of the bank, it may be an activity. So I'm thinking of in retail, in our branches, for example, in their stand-up huddles that they do, they may have a concept that they are going to touch on. Maybe it's listen to understand. Maybe it's assume positive intent. Again, really great concepts that we have. Again, just touching on it in a huddle. For talent management specifically, we have an all-team meeting once a month, and we spend at least 15 minutes of that meeting on culture. And we do it as sort of kind of lighting the fire. We call it a fire starter, where one of our team members is standing up talking about a particular concept, giving tips, talking through what that means to them and what it looks like in their work and how we can, as talent management, embrace that concept a little bit more. So it can look different in different work environments, but it's always there for us to draw from.
And
Yeah.
it's very, oh, go ahead.
Oh, you know what I was going to say? I think what's so powerful about this, ladies, in that you've spent so much time on this, it's a common language.
100%.
Too, right? You've got to kind of have a common language because when you say be present now, Susan, everybody knows what that means, right? When I mean I think that's
Yeah.
what is so critical is to have that. And you obviously have done the work to do
Yeah, and
that.
Lisa, that's why, you think of these things and we're throwing it out there is like, it may sound, wonder, well, what does that one mean? That's why we take a lot of time with our new team members. So that they can feel a part of it early. Throughout their first year experience, there's a lot of concepts, but we break it down and we have their leader actually talking with them in their one-on-ones about two concepts a month, just to really, ask, what does this mean to you? And the leader is sharing, this is what it means to me. So they're personalizing it and having a conversation about it. It's not just something that they're reading. They're going to continue to hear these phrases in meetings, and we want to make sure that they're a part of it. I'll also say in our first year experience, because these concepts are probably very different than where they came from, there's some behaviors that they need to unlearn, and we need to let them know it's okay too. So we break that down to say things like, It's okay to ask for clarification. It's okay to raise your hand and share an idea and say, I've never done it that way. This is how we did it where I came from. Have we thought of this? It's okay to take time off for your family. Like, that's be here now. If something is going on at home that's very, very important, we want you to be there. And we want you to take care of your family. But like, these are things that are not part of other work cultures. And so we need to help them understand it's okay to unlearn those behaviors that they've learned over the years.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. I guess, how do you know? Let me ask you this question. How do you know if it's working? Do you
That goes
have
back to, yeah.
retention numbers? I mean, I know that you do. I think you every May you do an employee survey. I'm sure you're measuring all of those things. Is that, I'm sure that's one of the ways. Tell me, Beth, what you were going to say.
I was gonna say that goes back to Becky's always on listening strategy and the annual survey. Even though it only happens once a year, there's so much weight that we put onto that survey. We have an incredibly high percentage, like a response rate, in your upper 80s.
That's
Of our 4,600,
great.
4,700 team members actually
That's
take that
great.
survey and complete it. And within that survey, we have some indexes, and one of the indexes is a culture index. And so it's measuring things like what Becky was talking about. Do you feel like you can toss out a new idea? Can you, I mean, there's tons of questions that go back to things that we are covering in our culture concepts, and each leader can go into their dashboard and see the results of that. They can break it down to the next leader level. So they have that information that feeds into those culture plans that Becky was talking about. But in addition to that, there's this we do pulse surveys throughout the year on different things. So we want to know, why are people staying? If we lose you, why are you leaving? We want to know what got you here in the first place. So we've got different strategies to try to put together information on our people that tell us when something is working well and when something might not be. And if it's teetering into an area that we feel like, ooh, we need a touch up there, that's then kind of our cue, whatever that might be, to go and have some sort of a conversation or approach around it. So leaders pay attention to it. It's one of our key results that we look at every year is how are we doing on our annual survey metrics. And so just as much as we have those financial results, we have some people metrics in there too.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're doing trend analysis on that too, Beth, right?
Yes,
You're keeping
yes.
the historical data and
Yeah,
looking
we
at health.
see year over year trend, and you can look back 5 year. Yeah, all of it.
That's so good. That is so good, ladies. Well, tell me a little bit, because we talked about this, and I don't even know how this came up really, but I know that you had the Commerce Foundation, and part of it's all people, right? And taking care of your people. And I can't remember who I was, which one of you I was talking to, but I was talking about a scenario with an employee, and you go, oh, we really do take care of our people because we, had this foundation. If somebody's going through hardship or whatnot, so can one of you tell me a little bit more about that? And then I have a few personal questions for you, and then we're going to talk about something extra.
Becky, was it you that was talking to about EDE? Or was
I
it Susan?
probably it might have been me or Susan.
Go
I
ahead,
don't know.
Becky.
I mean, I can talk about from a story perspective, but we have a, I'll say just the way that the process works. I mean, there's an application process, and there is a board of team members who evaluate the applications that come in. But we have kind of an appeal every year, just like you would for kind of external campaigns around United Way, for
United
example.
Way.
You know, we do that and we plug it in to lots of different times throughout the year. One of the years that we bring it around is during our National Volunteer Week or during Employee Appreciation Week. We're always reminding team members that this opportunity is out there. And I believe the history is that it was born from a team member raising their hand saying, can I give paid time off to someone around the Joplin tornado? Like, how can I help? I am in a different state. a different geographic location. I am not hurting. I want to help my hurting colleague. And so that's how this was born. And the stories that have come from that, it's things as big as the Joplin tornado, and then other very personal and individual health kind of crises that our team members are going through that they can lean on their team members for support. And the stories that they share, we share those internally, where they've said, you saved me, financially. And also, I am, indebted to Commerce for, I cannot believe you took care of me in the way that you did. And that culture of caring is something that we're really proud of. And I think that E2E, employee to employee, is just that kind of manifested in a financial way. But those acts of service, those acts of care are happening all over Commerce.
And the impact of that, to your point, Becky, that you may truly have saved somebody, really, or saved a family, or, it could be all kinds of things. But I'm just thinking it's truly the way a healthy family should operate. And you guys, although you've got almost 5,000 people, it's a healthy family, right? And
Yeah, and
supporting
it's
each
a
other.
human way to work. And that's something that we it's been important to us even prior to COVID. I think other organizations decided, hey, we're going to start caring about people a little bit more. In the COVID era, it was important to us prior to that, and so we were well on our way to really thinking very thoughtfully about the team member experience, and making sure that we are taking care of people so that they can show up and do their best work to care for our customers, and to care for our community too.
No, that's so good. Well, I've got a couple personal questions for you guys, and then we're gonna talk about something extra. So I would love to know, and I say this just jokingly, but besides listening to something extra, how do you guys each grow? Because that's really important, right? I mean, as leaders, we've got to continue to grow ourselves. And what are your favorite modalities? And then do you have recommendations for our listeners? It could be a conference, it could be a podcast, it could be a book that you've read that really made a difference.
Great question.
Susan or
I could talk
Becky, go
forever. Somebody
first.
else go.
Okay, Susan, how about you? Do you want to go first?
So sure, I'm going through maybe a little bit different season right now, but it's working well. And I consider myself a very spiritual person, so God's first in my heart, and that drives everything. And so grateful to be at an organization where your faith can show up, because we're just the genuine approach that we take is just doing the right thing. So long story short, my middle child is a college sophomore. She's kind of rediscovering her faith a little bit. So honestly, right now, there's a lot of sharing in terms of when I have free time. My personal development is probably less on the business side right now than it has been for the last 25, 26 years. It's more sharing with her different things we're reading together. She's going through like a biblical calendar with different discussion forums. And so I'm doing a lot of that. And that also keeps us connected while she's away at college. So
Love it.
if that's, appealing to someone, and maybe regardless if they have a child that's away at school, but find a friend, find a relative, find a colleague that you can connect with. I'm more than happy to share some of those sources that she and I are using. God bless her. Literally, God bless her. She is the one driving it.
That's
And
amazing. Love
I think
that.
she's shocked that I'm like embracing some of her new ideas, because I'm such a historic, conservative, grew up in a certain, faith profile. She's like, "Whoa, mom, you're open-minded." I said, "That's my assume positive intentions and be open to all ideas that I get from work." So, hey, there it is.
There you go. There you
Susan, I
go.
have a book recommendation to share with you. I'll actually send you my copy because I think you guys will really love it. It's a conversation starters between a mom and a daughter that you
Love
might love.
that.
It just came out, and it is a faith-based kind of journal. But it's Mom, tell me why you're Catholic and everything else you love. And my friend wrote it with a sister, so it's really, really neat. So I'll send it your way.
You. That's awesome. That's awesome. I know I'm a little bit of a nonconformist, but I'm loving this season of my life right now. So.
Oh, and there's nothing that's more important, Susan, really. And we don't have time to go into it, but that I've got a similar story where my daughter is the one now that's, pushing me and, to have these conversations. And I absolutely love it. So feel like she's
Awesome.
ministering to me, which is really a blessing.
Love
Beth,
it.
how about you, Beth?
Well, mine is not a book or a podcast. So I'll tell you, the only books I'm reading right now are children's books because I have a 4-year-old, a 9-year-old, and then my 18-year-old. So we're all over the place. But for me, relationships are key, and I learn through others. And so I will say, well, I will find time to connect with people to just learn about what have they learned. Like with Becky, I always hear new books from Becky. I always look at different things that she's got going on in her life. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then that'll lead me on a journey to self-discover something. Same with Susan or same with anyone else within my network. So I use my network a lot to keep my eyes and my ears open. And then I'm also a big signaler. So like if I start seeing like words pop up or if I see like certain things that are maybe on LinkedIn or on other social platforms, whether it's Instagram or TikTok or wherever it is that you're finding your news, I will look at those. I'm like, oh, that word's popping up or that's trending or that's trending. And that will lead me on kind of another little journey to figure out what that is. So it's more using social aspects of life and connections with people to stay current and relevant. And that's probably my biggest thing is use your network. If I was going to give advice to anyone, figure
I
out
love that.
how to make connections and use your network.
Yeah, build a network, right,
Build
Beth?
it.
It's
And
important.
it doesn't have to be a
Right.
big long process. Just little things that you get to know about somebody and they're there when you need them. It doesn't have to be like every week you're doing something with somebody, but you
Right.
never know when that relationship's going to come back up and be handy.
I could not agree more. I feel like that is one of the best ways that I've learned throughout my career is by the people.
From other people. You
And
take
that's
something from everybody
you
and you're giving them
too.
something in return. So
That's
you're
exactly right.
it's
That's
mutual.
it. That's why I love doing the Something Extra podcast because for my whole career, I've networked. It's like now I get to share all of you lovely ladies and your wisdom and your insights with everybody
With
else.
other people.
Which is just, yeah, I love it. Miss Becky, how about you?
All right. So I picked one that you said in my spare
Your
time.
whole
Yes,
library
I
of
do
books.
listen. Well, I do. I've got some of them, and Beth, some of them I grabbed from your bookshelf that I owe you back. And I have post-its on them that say these are best. I need to give them back at some point. But I pulled out one that you introduced me to, Lisa. And
Yes.
this is one that I share. I mean, I loved this podcast with Dana Spinola. It is worth a listen to, but I'm just going to read the tagline at the top because it really speaks to something that, like, if we talk about my season right now, this is what matters most to me. Ignite your passion, find your purpose, and live life with meaning. So Love What You Do is the name of the book. It's a really kind of easy read, but it's her story. And the funny thing about it is I am an old school highlighter. And my sister borrowed the book because my sister's like, oh my gosh, I need that, when she saw a little snippet of it. And she said, Becky, you highlighted all the most important parts. And I said, well, that's what you do with a highlighter in a book. So it's really important to me that you're aligned, that I'm aligned. I shouldn't say you, that I'm aligned with my purpose, because that's where I can do my best work. And I didn't always operate that way. And Lisa, you probably know some of that history. I did everything for everyone, because I wanted to help. And now I ask myself some questions first, and to make sure that it's in alignment with my values. And if something doesn't fit, if something is harming me in some way, if faith, family, relationships, community, and health, the answer is no. And I want others to be able to have those boundaries and to have that self-care and to be able to show up as their best self. That's a culture concept that we have here at Commerce. I am blessed that that's a part of us. It's called at your best. We want people to recognize those things. When are you at your best? When are you off your game, as I call it? And how can you manage your energy? Again, I'm using commerce culture language. How do you manage your energy so that you show up in a way that is serving yourself and others around you?
Wow, that is good. I've got a book recommendation for you guys. There is a book out there by Carrie Newhoff, and it's called At Your Best.
At your
Okay.
best.
At Your Best. And he talks about red, green, yellow, and you kind of looking at your rhythms. It's an excellent, excellent book. He was on the podcast too. You'd have to go back. I don't remember what episode number, but it's probably maybe in the 100s, maybe early 200s episode. Very, very good book. But Becky, I'm glad that you brought up Dana because I will never forget something that she said. She was running herself ragged. She was not doing self-care. And so to be at your best, ladies, we have to take care of ourselves and we have to see what those, we have to recognize those triggers in our life. And when we're feeling depleted, when we're feeling these things, and that's where Dana was. In fact, she said, what I realized was that my phone was always on 2%. And so was I. And so she had to take this step back, to reevaluate. And she's got some funny stories. She said that she, her email, her inbox had gotten out of control and she went in and deleted the whole thing. I'm like, oh, that would cause me more stress. But I'm glad that you brought her up. She's founded an amazing organization called Fabric that's giving back and doing wonderful things to fight human trafficking. So anyway, well, ladies, I have to ask you, this is called something extra. I have to ask you, what is the something extra that every leader needs? And you may each have a different answer, so I'd love to hear your answers.
Mine is going to be human leadership. I do think that they need to see that you're a human, that you go through similar things in life that they're experiencing, that you might be a parent, you might be a sibling, you might any and all of it. You're a human. You bring that to work, and it's okay for people to know that you might not have all the answers. So mine would be human, be authentic, and be you. That's, I
That's a
think
good
leaders
one.
need it.
That's a good one. Susan, how about you?
Mine would be there's beauty in holding people accountable, and you're doing it for their best interest. And so success for me is when I've got a relationship personally as well as professionally with somebody where that accountability, even if it's a tough conversation, is a positive outcome. So accountability is my something extra. People do it for me, and I'm hoping I'm doing it for others.
That's good. Becky, how about you?
Mine would be appreciation, to just have that part of your every day, and not just the big moments, but recognizing those small moments. There's a phrase that I overheard from I don't think they call them something about team. There's a special team member term that they use at Target. But I just heard one of the managers one day to one of the cart kids, and he said, "I'm glad you're here." Like, it's that simple. And it's that simple just to recognize someone. And I'm not saying recognize them for showing up, but for being you, for being here, for being a part of our team. I think that's so important that we appreciate even in those small moments.
Yeah, that's power. It's powerful, and a word spoken at the right time in a fitly way, right, really could change somebody's life. Truly, So, well, ladies, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for making the time today. I'm so excited for our listeners to hear your individual stories as well as the Commerce Bank story, and just keep doing what you're doing because you're making a tremendous difference in your employees' lives and in our community. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks,
Thank
Lisa.
you.
Same to
Thanks,
you.
Lisa.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.